Good morning. Happy that you're here today for our worship time together. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Today I want us to begin a five-part sermon series where we're going to look at five strategic areas where God wants us to share ourselves with other people. Today we're going to look at the first of those, and that is sharing our time. As you well know, because of the events that have taken place this past week in our community, it becomes very much to the forefront of our minds when we lose someone unexpectedly in our community or in our families or in our church family about just how short life really is and how much that we really are not in control of the amount of time that we're given. And yet at the same time, we've been given a gift by God of a certain number of hours and days and years to live upon this planet. And it is our job to use our time wisely. This morning, I want us to think about getting a handle on our time, because most of us, I think, feel like that if there's one thing, in fact, I asked my Bible class this morning, if there's one thing in life that you could be given more of, what would it be? And immediately, several people said, "I just need more time." All of us feel the pressure of lives that are lived burning the candle at both ends. I think all of us know the stress and strain of trying to find enough time to do everything in life that we would like to do. Our culture has become one of busyness. In fact, each passing day, our culture tries to find ways to become more proficient in maximizing the amount of time that we have. We have all kinds of technological advances that have been made to try to help us speed along tasks in life so we have more time to do things, and yet we find ourselves, with any extra time that has been given or that we've been able to find, packing our lives with even more activity. And so we feel like sometimes, I think, that we're filling our lives with so many things that we're actually suffocating our lives to death. A recent survey was conducted of a scientific survey of 1,077 Americans, and they were asked several different questions. It was a very diverse group of people, and that survey found that 44% of the respondents of this survey agreed that if their life continues at the same frantic pace that it is on, that they're going to have long-term health problems. We recognize what we're doing to ourselves. In fact, we recognize the fact that a stressful, fast-paced life is linked to things like heart disease and obesity, depression, memory problems, sleep disorders, anxiety, and high blood pressure. Many of the health problems that we have today that are plaguing us as a people is because of the pace of life that we're living. The same study found that 57% of all married people surveyed admitted that they rarely have time to go on a date with each other. 84% of married people surveyed said that they need to spend more time with their spouse. So see, even with those people that are closest to us in our lives, we recognize, many of us, that we don't have time for each other. Well, if we don't have time for the people that are closest to us, how much more so are we going to struggle to share our time with other people that are not so close that we interact with on a daily basis? So if God is calling us to share things with each other, and it starts with, you got to have time for people. If you're going to share anything, you got to have time. So we've got to make time for people. So we've got to dare to share our lives with others. Well, how do you do it? The text we're going to look at this morning very quickly is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. "Look carefully then how you walk." Now the NIV gets it a little bit better. Literally the translation says, "Be careful how you walk." But what it's talking about is how you live. Look carefully, be intentional and careful about the way you live your life. And then he clarifies, not as unwise, but as wise. Choose to live your life wisely. And then he gets even more specific, making the best use of the time. because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He starts out in this section, the Apostle Paul does, by indicating to you and me that we need to give very careful attention to being intentional about the way we walk or the way we live our lives. He makes clear to us that one way in which you can choose to live your life either wisely or unwisely, to live your life in a wise way or a foolish way, has everything to do with the way that you manage your time. And so here we find that when he says, he gives the call, make the most use of your time, he's talking not just about theoretical knowledge here. He's talking about determining what the will of the Lord is for your life, verse 17. And so he's talking about here having moral discernment. He's talking about a practical skill in making life decisions. You don't get more basic about just a basic life skill, a wise life skill, than managing your time wisely. It's the most basic thing of life, really. Because life is like a rushing stream of water. That stream of water is going to rush down the downstream, and unless you intentionally direct the flow of that water, you're going to look up and your life has been swept away. So Paul literally tells us what we need to do, and the King James Version gives it this way, redeem the time. That's the language that is the original text uses. It's a language of buying or purchasing something. He's saying you need to buy back the time. I think there's probably one thing most all of us wish that we could do. As Glenn mentioned before the contribution this morning, most all of us find ourselves in a position of life where we are extremely blessed. And for many of us, it's not really that we need more resources financially. There's one thing we wish we all had more of, and that's time. If we could buy more time, we would buy it. If we could go to the time store, we would invest and buy more time. Well, the thing is, Paul is using metaphorical language here to speak about the way you use the time that you've been given. He's essentially saying, buy up every opportunity that you have. Rather than letting the time that you're given control you, you must learn, and I must learn, to budget and control our time. That means live your life with a plan. Live your life with a purpose. Live your life with intentionality. Now, why does Paul say that's important? Listen to what he says. He says, because the days are evil. What's he getting at? Your time that you've been given will sweep you downstream. You'll be swept up in your life into lesser things, and you will miss the best things in your life if you're not intentional with your time. Why? Because the days are evil. And so, when we're trying to manage our time, how do we budget it? How do we manage time? Well, we often ask the wrong kinds of questions when we're trying to budget time. We ask questions like, can I do this? Or we ask, is this a right thing or a wrong thing to do? Or we ask, do I have the time to do it? Now, those in and of themselves are not bad questions, but I think what Paul is saying here is that we need to ask a bigger question. He says, you need to always ask the question, when you're considering doing anything in your life and budgeting your time, ask the question, is it wise? Is it wise that I should do this? Because it may not be a matter of ability or skill or being able to juggle a lot of things at once, multitasking. It may not be a matter of, do I have the time on paper, enough slots in my daily planner? It may not be a matter of that. The question really should be, is this going to be good for me overall? Is it a wise course of life that I'm choosing? Because you might be able to pack one more thing into your schedule, but ask the question, is it wise? Will you choose to do it? If you choose to do it, what will it do to you? What will it do to your marriage? What will it do to your family? What will it do to your walk with God? More than budgeting time, it's about budgeting your ability to be present in life with the people around you. And if you've got too much crammed into your schedule that you can't be present with the people around you, then you're not living wisely and discerning what the will of the Lord is and making the most of your time. So before asking questions about your daily planner, you need to ask questions about, is this going to be wise for my life? And so you've got to start examining, really, the wise life is a life that is lived with priorities in mind. What are my heart's deepest priorities? In his book, Simple Life, Tom Rainer makes this powerful observation. He says this, "The only way to figure out what to do with your time is to get a grasp on your priorities in life." So what Rainer is saying is, you're never going to get a grasp on time and be able to handle the time you've been given wisely until you first get a grasp on what are my heart's strongest priorities. I think all of us should ask an important question about living life wisely. It ought to be this question: what in my life deserves the most attention in my day? And I should make a list of maybe the top five things that deserve my life's most attention. I would encourage you to make your own list. If you made your list, I dare say, because you're here today, your list might look something like this. You might write down and say, I know number one at the top of that list should be God. And I know that number two on that list should be my family. And I realize that down there somewhere ought to be a priority put on my health, living a healthy life. Then my friends come down there somewhere and my relationships with others. And then maybe work would be number five on the list. You see, all of us, if we really made a list of our priorities and what our heart knows should be our priorities, it would be something like that. But the problem is, for most all of us, when we look at the way we really spend our days and the way we spend our time, for most all of us, our time allotment does not really reflect the priorities of our hearts. It doesn't really reflect the way we actually live our lives wisely or not. So you see, if your time, the way that you have made use of your time, does not reflect the priorities of your heart, then you are not making the most of your time. You're not living wisely. You're living unwisely. So in order to really get a grasp on this, then, we've got to ask some hard questions. Some hard, what I would call, why questions. Now, before I share this list with you, let me say that there's something on this list that's probably going to agitate almost everybody in this group. So I've tried to find something to agitate everybody. So don't feel like you're alone if one of them agitates you and it's like, why are you talking to me? Well, one of the other ones is talking to somebody else. So ask some hard why questions like these. Why do I work so many hours? Why are my children involved in so many activities? Why do I spend so much time going to the gym? Some of you are like, shoo, now he didn't talk about me on that one. Why do I serve on so many committees and on so many councils? Why do I volunteer so much? You see, we need to ask the hard why questions. Why do I do the things that I'm doing? Why am I making the choice to fill my day up with so many things that leave me feeling like I don't have any time left for people? Why? You see, the truth is, many of us fill our days with time-consuming activities because, for this reason, here's why we do it. We don't really want to face up to who we really are. We don't really want to do deep self-examination, and so we just get busy doing things all the time so we don't have to ask the hard questions about what kind of father am I? What kind of mother am I? What kind of friend am I? What kind of employee am I? What kind of boss am I? What kind of Christian disciple am I? We don't really want to ask those questions. So in order to disconnect our heart's priorities from the way we live in a way that is not in alignment. And so the only real answer for how to handle your time appropriately is you've got to first examine the priorities of your heart. What is my priority list, really? And then secondly, the second step after making your list is you've got to have the courage and the determination to rearrange your daily life to reflect your heart's true priorities. You see, once you examine your priority list, you've got to do that hard work of doing some rearrangement. Paul puts it this way, being careful how you walk, not as unwise but wise, making the best use of the time. If you do that hard work and you start to rearrange your daily life to reflect the priorities of your heart, what you're going to come up with is a new mission statement for the way you choose to arrange your day, your week, your year, your life. And it might look something like this. You might say to yourself, "Self, I want to rearrange my life to make the most use of the time so that it reflects my heart's deepest priorities. So in an effort to do that, I'm going to make some very intentional decisions. I'm going to only work a maximum of 2 hours of overtime per week. I'm going to choose to spend 30 minutes a day in reading my Bible and praying to God because my relationship with God is top on the list. I'm going to only allow my children to play 2 sports per year because I want to leave time for people so that we're not rushing here and there all the time. I'm going to choose, no matter what it takes, I'm going to make it a priority to have one date night with my spouse every week." You see how that kind of statement is making specific decisions to alter your daily and weekly life to more be in alignment with what your heart's real priority list is. Well, why have you got to do that? You say, "I don't have to do that. I can just leave this sermon. I don't have to really come up with a specific list. I heard the sermon. I hear what you're saying. I'm going to go and I'm going to do better." Guess what? If you leave here without a specific plan, you will not do anything different than what you're doing now. You just won't. You have to have a plan. And you say, "How do you know you have to have a plan?" Because Paul says it. If you don't have a plan, you will get swept away. You will look up one day and you'll say, "Whatever happened to the time?" Why? Paul says it. Because the days are evil. And so you must choose to handle your time intentionally by arranging your day to reflect your heart's true priorities. I think one of the best ways for me to drive the point home is a story I heard several weeks ago when attending a conference. Bill Hybels tells the story about how, and Bill Hybels is an extremely engaged and busy individual. He's a preacher and he organizes a lot of leadership conferences. He does a lot of things. And he told the story, he said, one time in his life, he said, "I found that I was so busy doing so many things, rushing to so many appointments, making so many phone calls, working on so many projects." He said, my work started to encroach out of the office and into my home. In my home office. He said, "I was working one day in my home office, hurriedly trying to get something done, very absorbed and focused. And he said, and my young little daughter came into the room And she said, "Dad, I want to tell you something." To which he, for a moment, stopped what he was doing and looked in the eyes of his daughter and said, "Okay, but can you tell me fast?" And he said, what she said next has haunted him for the rest of his life. His little girl looked up at him and said, "Dad, I'll come back when you can listen slow." Talk about a wake-up call. Now, it's interesting to me that this passage we're looking at this morning from Ephesians 5, we've been looking at verses 15 through 17, but look at the verse just before it. "Wake up, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is a wake-up call. He's sounding the alarm. If you don't get a handle on your time, then you will get swept away because the days are evil. And so buy back the time. How do you buy back time? By looking at what your heart's true priorities are and making a plan to rearrange your daily life to reflect those priorities and be courageous to make the decision to do so. Because you see, if you're going to dare to share, as we've been looking at this morning and in this series, if you're going to share your life with others, it starts by learning to share the time you've been given. But you can't share your time if you don't have any time to spare. So buy back some time in your life. Rearrange your life to reflect those priorities. It is time for you and me to wake up, to arise from the dead, and let Christ shine on us, and discern what the will of the Lord is for your life. It's time to be people who make time for those around us. Today is our small group Sunday. And in our small groups, we're going to be digging a little bit deeper and talking a little bit more about what it means to get a handle on the time you've been given. So I want to encourage you to join one of our small group discussions today that are happening all over this city. We have 17 different small groups. If you're not in a small group, and by the way, we've got a lot of new faces that have been visiting with us over the last month or so. And I've spoken with several of you. But if you're not in a small group, it's a great way to get connected and get to know other people in this church real quickly and to feel like that you are a part of this body of believers. If you need information about a small group, just see me in the foyer and I'll be glad to direct you to one and get you involved in one. But I want you to think deeply about this, whether you're in a small group today or not. I hope you will be. But I want you to think deeply about, how am I using my time? Am I using it wisely? Am I walking wisely? Or am I getting swept away? Won't you choose to be courageous and rearrange your life to meet your heart's real priorities? If we can help you put God first, because all of us know deep down we should, your first step in making the most of your time is to surrender your life to Jesus. If we can help you with a personalized Bible study, maybe you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus in repentance and baptism. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement from your church family and from other Christians. If we can help you, the shepherds will be praying privately in the library, or you can come forward right now. We'd be glad to help you in any way that we can as we all stand together and as we all sing this song.